Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, software engineer and creation speaker.
Fred, what a great idea you came up with for today's show. Is this your idea?
Well, actually, it's not my idea, Bob. It's a listener of ours, a Hollywood producer, who wrote into the show and asked that we talk about an article that appeared in Nature magazine called The 15 Evolutionary Gems.
It's kind of
like
15 gems.
It's like their best evidence for evolution.
All right.
And it's basically their evangelism tract to their faithful. Mm. They pretty much describe it as that.
Hey, Doug.
Possibly.
We have a lot of headlines to cover in a short amount of time.
Yeah. This show goes so fast. This is the fastest half hour in radio.
That's because it's only 23 minutes.
Okay. Now. I'm supposed to be the comedy relief.
All right. Okay, so why don't we just hit the news?
There's an ironically funny story out of Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, they were having a crime awareness workshop in Atlanta, and one of the Atlanta City Council women was attending.
Wait, crime awareness?
Crime awareness.
Was this for aliens who've come to Earth, Martians?
Who may not be aware of
Martians have come to Earth, and so yeah. They needed a crime awareness to let them know.
Yeah, I think the citizens of Atlanta are fairly aware of the crime. I think, but
Atlanta is so bad. You know, when people die and go to hell,
yeah,
they stop in Atlanta on the way.
They do.
Yeah, it's a layover.
Atlanta's a layover to hell.
It's a layover.
So
she has, so right off the bat, a crime awareness workshop. I can't even comprehend that.
I'm not sure if they were, maybe
for kindergartners.
Possibly it was for young children.
Okay.
So that they could be aware.
All right.
And anyway, while she was attending the crime awareness workshop, her home was burglarized and ransacked.
No.
Possibly by criminals.
No, say it's not so.
Yeah.
No, that's ironic.
It's just, yeah, it's ironic.
It's poetic.
It's poetic. It's symptomatic of the culture.
Yeah. Could it be poetic justice? I mean, she is a lawmaker of
sorts.
She's
a part of the ruling class there in Atlanta.
She is.
So she's partially responsible for the crime epidemic.
But she wants people to be aware of the crime.
Yeah.
And so this really just punctuated her whole event.
That's right.
It's like Al Gore. There's a blizzard. It's the Al Gore effect.
Right.
Meteorologists call it the Al Gore effect. Every time there's a global warming conference,
It
is freezing cold and there are blizzards. People can't get to the meeting.
That's right. And now in Atlanta, they want to raise awareness of crime. What better way than to be able to say, look, I'm being broken into right now. It's
and,
bad out there, folks.
You know, liberals say that people are basically good.
I've heard that.
And conservative Christians, right-wingers, we believe God's word, and so we know that there was the fall. God created us in a paradise, innocent, and mankind rebelled against God. And so now men are basically sinful,
and
we need to overcome that.
Mm-hmm. And we need Jesus Christ to do that, to overcome that.
That's right, eternally for salvation, and then also through our institutions like families, churches, and government— to restrain the wickedness that people would do left to themselves.
Yeah. So you think the government is an appropriate place upon which Christians can comment?
Yeah.
And maybe even seek to have input?
Yeah. Some Christians are apathetic when it comes to government public policy, and they think that God wants them to have no opinion and no influence.
Yeah.
And apparently they think that our governing officials do not have eternal souls.
Oh, good point.
Because we need to warn them, like John the Baptist warned Herod. That didn't matter that Herod is a king.
Right.
If you're committing adultery, you're promoting wickedness, you're a murderer, you're going to hell. You got to repent and turn toward Jesus Christ.
And so the folks at, where were they? What were we talking about? The climate change? No, wait a minute.
Oh,
Atlanta?
Atlanta.
I forget. I got members. My members of the ruling class are mixed up in my head. But they do have eternal souls.
They do.
And they're going to, when they get to heaven, they're not going to be wearing their official uniform and be treated any differently than
No. So hopefully Cleta will realize that people are basically sinful.
Yeah.
Even regardless of how aware they become.
No matter how aware. Now, if you disagree or if you agree, but preferably if you disagree, please give us a call. The number is 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-NYART. Give us a call if you think that government and governance is no topic.
And Doug, she thinks, Cleta thinks that awareness is apparently part of the answer.
Yes.
And when I was growing up, and I heard everybody talking about education is the answer.
Yeah.
I wondered, what was the question they're trying to answer? But I spent a lot of time in a hospital growing up. I had a kidney infection. Ooh. I was out of school for 2 months. I had a tutor.
Wow.
And I would see that doctors and the staff at hospitals, they smoked. They were chain smokers.
Yeah.
And I thought, clearly, education is not the answer. If right. education was the answer, doctors wouldn't smoke.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
So education's not the answer.
I'm not against education.
No, certainly not.
But it's not the answer.
No.
Germany was the height of European education in the 20s, 30s, and 40s.
Yeah, they were.
And it fell apart because they didn't know right from wrong.
Right. So the question, I think, that people want to answer is the question of why. When these terrible, horrible crimes are committed,
yeah,
the news people,
they always say, we don't know why. Why is this happening? It's so, like if one of our kids does something wrong,
yeah,
I don't say to him, why did you do that?
No.
I mean, it's so obvious.
You know why they do.
It's like listening to Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
I roll radio. Greg Jackson.
Your eyeballs automatic.
I don't know. Maybe you were the one who came up with this, but we started calling it I Roll Radio because Sean Hannity does a whole show saying that Barack Obama's evil.
Yeah.
It'd be like Jesus saying, do you know that Caesar is evil and Pontius Pilate? And it's going to get dark later tonight as the sun sets. Right. Do a whole show, Sean, that it's going to get dark when the sun sets.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sean. The best part of Sean Hannity's show is that you do have the ability to turn it off, typically with only one hand. You could do it while you're driving. All right,
Sean, okay.
But let's not beat up on Sean Hannity.
He's not here to defend himself.
That's right. Let's go to an easier target, the public schools of the greater Chicago metropolitan area. Mm. You've heard about Rahm Emanuel. I mean, you've heard of him.
Yeah.
Right?
He's a waiter at the Obama White House.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know him. He hasn't mailed you dead fish or anything.
Well, I'm only guessing because of his IQ. He's dumb.
He's a waiter at the Obama. Well, not anymore.
He's a dumb waiter. He's gone. He's the former chief of staff.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Rahm, ironically, is facing some residency challenges as he runs for mayor there in Chicago. People are saying he may not be eligible.
Oh.
Isn't that ironic?
He's a carpetbagger.
Because he hasn't lived there. But the bigger issue is Rahm, he made a big speech talking about what he's going to do for the public schools there in Chicago.
Mm.
But he has not committed publicly as to whether or not he will send his own children to the public schools, the government schools, I should say, in Chicago.
So, and can you blame him?
No. In fact, I don't even like Rahm Emanuel, but I would say, Rahm, don't send your kids
to the
public.
Don't send your kids, because we're not against his kids.
No, certainly not. They're
innocent
victims.
We love his kids.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing he can copy of his boss in D.C., something that Obama did correctly. He kept his kids out of the public schools.
That's right. Barack didn't send his kids.
These guys are hypocrites, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Teachers, I've heard that teachers, more than any other profession, a higher percentage of public school teachers have their kids out of the public schools.
Well, I would imagine, because they see it every day. That's got to be
They
rough.
See what it's like. So if you criticize the public schools, the teachers will all defend them. But if you listen in when they're talking, like if you have the table next to them at a restaurant, they will freely say that it is a pit. It is a cesspool, the public schools.
Yeah, it's a talk about hypocrisy.
Yeah. So these guys, even Republicans.
Oh,
What Republican politician says we need to close our godless public schools? They get, as far as I could tell, they just keep giving more billions and billions of dollars to the godless government school system. I believe in separation of school and state.
For that. But Bob, don't beat up on the Republicans too bad. It appears possibly that they've won a tremendous victory for us this week. You've heard, I think, that Barack Obama has capitulated.
Oh, yeah.
And decided to, I believe he's going to cut everybody's taxes by 10 or 20%. I mean, Sean Hannity is positively
the Republicans
radiant.
Won a victory. They're keeping our taxes at a confiscatory rate.
That's about right.
It's almost as bad as if you got hit in the head in a dark alley.
Yeah.
And they got your ATM card and they cleaned you out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it. But they didn't kill you. So it's a major victory.
So we have our government spends about half of what we produce in this country. So so the effective tax rate is about 50%. And it's criminal. And so Obama, he's caved.
Yes.
Right? He lost the election.
Yeah.
And so now he's caved. But you know what was wild, Doug, what he said? He gave a subliminal message to terrorists all over the world today.
Oh, no.
When he caved. He was asked by a, who would think he'd be talking to terrorists at a tax press conference?
He was making a speech, right? I heard he was going to come out and make a speech today. I didn't get to hear it, but he was going to make a speech and about
he was asked by some alleged journalist. He was asked, well, aren't you caving in? And how about all the Democrats who are standing strong and not compromising? They're not willing to negotiate.
Right.
And Barack Obama said, well, let me give you an analogy. He said, you don't negotiate with terrorists. You don't negotiate with hostage takers unless they're going to harm the hostage.
Say what? He said what?
Like Barry, the leader of the PTA should never say such a thing. I don't know if they still have a PTA.
He's the commander-in-chief of the military in a time of war against terrorists.
The leader of the Girl Scouts should never say such a thing. And here is Barry saying, as commander-in-chief, that we would not negotiate with terrorists unless they're willing to harm the hostages.
That's not a productive statement from Mr. Obama.
That's just so bizarre. A Coloradan was a hostage over in Lebanon for a couple of years. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to recall his name. And when he was finally released, first public appearance was on Mike Rosen's radio show.
Right.
And I was thrilled to get through. I was the first caller.
Yeah.
And I asked him, do you think the government should have negotiated for your release? Because it seems if they did, then that would just encourage more terrorists to kidnap more people.
Yeah.
And he said, absolutely not.
Oh, yeah?
You cannot negotiate with terrorists, with hostage takers.
Wow.
So praise the Lord. Somebody will find out that guy's name. And Thomas Sutherland.
Yes,
Thomas Sutherland.
I remember.
What a crack producer we have here at Bob and Your
Lightning
Life.
Fast research. Yeah. Was he held in Iran or was it?
No, Lebanon.
Okay.
Lebanon, I'm pretty sure.
Another one of those Middle Eastern paradises.
Lebanon, Lebanon, Ohio.
Lebanon, yeah. Anyway, so the hypocrisy continues. Emmanuel won't commit on whether to send his kids to public school. Obama has committed to negotiating with terrorists if they are willing or threatening legitimately to harm their hostages.
And, Doug, it reminds me of the liberals who are against guns, but they carry guns.
Yeah.
And they have bodyguards who are armed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That, I mean, it's just so hysterical.
Interesting hypocrisy on the left.
I remember a lunatic talk show host from Boulder years ago, Jan. And he's a liberal, but I did a show with him, and his briefcase is open. He's got a gun in his briefcase.
Oh, cool.
And he's a gun control guy.
He is, huh? Big advocate for gun control?
Yeah,
well, of course, he's broadcasting in Boulder.
There's a columnist in Washington, D.C., who is known for being against guns, and a kid jumped his fence at night, was swimming in his pool. And the guy went out and shot the kid in his pool with his gun that he wasn't supposed to have.
Now, see, I'm not a gun control guy.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't shoot a kid in my pool.
No.
I'd at least try to give him a chance to explain himself.
Me neither. You don't shoot a kid in your pool.
That's crazy. I remember that guy. He's a very famous liberal columnist.
Yeah.
Whose name escapes me because I tend not to remember.
We don't even have to ask our producer to get that name because
All right,
it doesn't matter.
Speaking of a hypocrisy.
Yeah.
What's happened on the don't ask, don't tell front, Bob? Am I confused? Perhaps you could refresh my memory. It seems to me that in 1993,
yeah,
when Bill Clinton announced that he was going to cut the baby in half, so to speak, and he was going to institute the don't ask, don't tell policy, allowing homosexuals to serve in the military as long as they didn't broadcast.
Back then it was called don't ask, don't smell.
Don't ask, don't smell, Paul. It seems to me that Republicans and people like myself and
everybody was against this. All the conservatives, the Republicans, the Christians, everybody was against it.
So I'm not misremembering.
No.
We were against it.
No, you're misunderestimating the ability of conservatives to change their position as they go down the road. Doug, the things that Christians fought against 10 years ago, 3 years ago, 5, 20 years ago, 100 years ago, now they're fighting for.
Yes.
The Focus on the Family is absolutely famous for doing this. Do you remember recently they said their spokesman came out and said that they support in principle the idea of a homosexual on the U.S. Supreme Court? You remember that?
I probably erased it from my mind just to stop from going.
Their vice president of public policy, Tom Minery, told a group of us, the elder board of Denver Bible Church, we had a meeting down there,
yeah,
Colorado Springs. He said, well, we wouldn't support Amendment 2. Remember Amendment 2 passed in Colorado overwhelmingly?
Amendment 2 said that you could, let's say, not rent your rental property to a homosexual if you didn't want to.
Well, right? Yeah, and you couldn't be forced to hire a homosexual.
Right, right.
So you have your kids. You don't want two homosexuals sitting in the backyard holding hands, smooching, whatever.
No, you don't want that.
I shouldn't even say that. Okay. And so it was an effort to forestall the homosexual agenda, and it passed overwhelmingly in Colorado.
I remember that.
And John Roberts, who's now the U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice, fought against it, helped to overturn it, helped the homosexuals, and Focus on the Family, they campaigned for it, and then they said now they would not support such a thing.
So now they've, so this is
so
why,
don't ask, don't tell.
Don't, well, the, you know, the left is very good at moving the goalposts.
Yeah.
And then tricking the right into thinking that we're having victories.
Right.
When we're just solidifying the victories they've had.
Right. There's
it's
this
really
confiscatory,
sad.
There's this confiscatory tax rate.
Yeah.
And we think, we conservatives think we had a victory.
Yes. Yes. I think taxes are too high. And I think that's generally accepted in conservative circles. Taxes are too high. But because Barack Obama wants to keep taxes at their confiscatory high level, the conservatives, we've won a victory.
I think they were for it before they were against it.
Yeah, is that the homos or the taxes? Or all,
it doesn't matter.
The whole don't
they
ask,
were against
don't smell.
It before they were for it. John Kerry has nothing up on conservatives.
It's just sad, Bob, to watch this happen.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like I've often said, that the things, when I first started listening to your show, maybe 12, 13, 14 years ago.
Yeah.
Some of the things you said, I thought you were just saying for effect.
Mm.
Some of the predictions you made.
Mm.
Like, if indeed we say equal rights and not special rights for homosexuals, it's going to be, in short order, the homosexuals will be adopting our kids, teaching in our schools.
Right.
They will.
Coaching the boys' wrestling team.
Yeah.
And the Christians will end up in the closet, and that's what's happening.
That's what you said
the
that I thought you were saying for effect.
The Christians are going in the closet.
Yeah.
They're being forced in the closet. If you admit that you are Christian, you believe Christian morality from God's word, you'll be fired, you'll be alienated, you'll be sidelined.
Yeah, yeah. Or you could be re-educated. Did you catch that story out of Augusta State University over in Georgia?
Back in Georgia?
We're back in
the
Georgia.
The layover?
We started the layover to hell.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
over
yeah. Yeah, that Christian gal.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
I remember
now she's
that.
On the she's a counselor, a student counselor. Right. So when younger students come in and they have troubles and problems, she's there to help them. You know,
that's what you usually refer to a city council as the student.
The
council.
Student council. She's part of the student counseling program.
Yeah.
Which is that's laudable work. You know, you have a kid coming into school. He's just left home for the first time. They do need some help, some guidance. Well, she asserted to a student there, apparently, not that homosexuality was a crime or that it was bad or that God didn't
immoral, perverse, nothing
all
like
she,
that.
She asserted that it was a behavioral choice.
A choice.
And not necessarily a state of being. Mm. And for that, she's been told she has to go to re-education camp or they're going to kick her out of the counseling program.
So she needs to be re-educated.
Yes.
And her name is Jen Keaton.
Yeah, Jen Keaton.
And so because she said that homosexuals make a choice.
That's what she said.
Now, the liberals there, they haven't talked to the lesbians.
Apparently not.
Because the homosexuals, the males, say that they were born that way.
Yeah.
The female homosexuals, also called FOMOs.
FOMOs, right.
They refer to it as a lifestyle choice. And, Doug, they have for 20 years.
Yeah. Oh,
for
yeah.
20 years, they've called it a lifestyle choice, and they try to entice young girls into experimenting with yeah. lesbianism.
And for challenging that orthodoxy. She was stating that orthodoxy, yeah. if you think about it. She's been said she's got to read books that promote that lifestyle. She has to attend the ever-popular sensitivity training, and they want her to attend a gay pride parade and report on it. So that's like full-on re-education camp.
She could just go online and get some of the filthy videos of gay pride parades.
Oh, there's plenty.
And say they perform sex acts in front of children. She, in the middle of Broadway.
She could use that last. I hadn't thought about that. She could use that last sentence there that she's been sentenced to, that she has to attend the parade. She could use that as a counterpoint. That could be.
Or accusing them of sexual harassment.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Send her into a group with a bunch of deviants. I mean, that's not appropriate.
No.
That's not an appropriate sentence for a young lady.
No, it's wrong.
University age.
It's wrong. Homosexuality, if you hate your neighbor, if you're apathetic, then you'll be fine with homosexuality. If you love your neighbor, you'll remind him that God made us male and female, and that homosexuality is an expression of rebellion against God, and it will destroy you, if not your body, very possibly your body,
yeah,
but your psyche, your mind, and your soul, your eternal soul.
Your eternal soul, eventually. Yeah, it's really too bad that they've won the culture war.
Yeah, and it's Doug, back on Bob and Yart Live back 20 years ago, we were pointing this out that, look, if we don't re-stigmatize homosexuality, Christianity will be criminalized.
Yeah.
And then 10 years later, a nice Christian gal, talk show host from Florida, she wrote a book, The Criminalization of Christianity.
Right.
And, Doug, that's little by little here in Colorado. Our governor signed a law saying that there is censorship in our state. You cannot publish a book that would discriminate against homosexuals or cohabitation.
Wow. Well, it's all come to pass, and it's yeah. just it's sad to watch because I don't know anywhere else to go except the moon or Mars. They're not very hospitable places.
No.
So where do we go from here once the deviants and the socialists all take over?
Indiana.
Indiana?
Yeah, Glenn Beck. Didn't Glenn Beck say that he's looking at this town in Indiana?
Oh, that's right. He's going to, I forget.
I think he's losing his mind in a nice way.
No, I think he's expecting a Mad Max scenario, and he wants to be the guy in the big truck who everybody
jumps on. It's
just
too much. It's like the Y2K thing when conservatives who didn't like what they saw in the world were just hoping desperately
yes.
that the end would come on a computer bug. They were desperately hoping for it.
Right.
So Glenn Beck, I had his show on the radio driving through town.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I now reach one third of the American public.
I'm sure that's true.
And we've come to a point where we've had to decide what is next.
Yeah.
And what is next? And he really built it up. And I'm thinking, boy, what is next?
What is next, Glenn?
And if I recall, this is a few years ago, he said, food supplies.
Right.
We need to buy. We need to stack up on food supplies.
Yeah.
Oatmeal, you know, bottled water, whatever.
Yeah. Packaged chicken salad.
Yeah. And, you know, you could get a divorce if you buy enough of those frozen dried meals, dried meals, seeds. You need seeds.
Yeah.
And not genetically modified seeds.
Yeah.
You need the kind that are especially susceptible
to
rodents and bugs and all. And
you're terrible.
And Doug, And then he said he's got his eye on this town in Iowa.
I know there's a town that he's I think he's going to have his next big thing there. Now here's the difference between Y2K and the impending economic collapse. There was no evidence that Y2K could happen. But I mean, if you look at Yugoslavia in the 90s or you look at Germany in the 30s, well, I mean, at least there's some evidence that there could be some economic troubled times ahead.
Well, yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be Mad Max and eating out of your cellar. But I mean, I don't know. I'm no expert on that. Did you know that it's one of the pillars of the Mormon religion is food storage? I learned that when I was in Salt Lake City last week.
And special underwear.
The underwear, you have to be special to wear that. You can't, not anybody can just wear that.
No, right. That's why they call it special underwear. Okay. And you know how the Muslim women can have special treatment at the airport going through security because they have religious garments?
That's right, yes.
And the same thing is true with Mitt Romney.
Is that right?
Yeah, he has that Mormon underwear.
He's got that. I think he qualifies.
And he could request for special treatment.
Now, how did we get off on making fun of the Mad Max?
I have no idea.
Glenn Wait, Beck. We were talking about...
Glenn Beck has got his eye on Iowa.
Well, there's a town. Anyway,
where is the town?
It's in the Midwest.
All right.
I forget all the details, but...
They filmed The Music Man there.
Did you know that one of the symptoms of a prescription drug problem is that you tend to break down into tears over things that generally people don't cry about?
Oh.
So I think maybe he got off the sauce, but he's on and so he's a little nuts, but he does have a good research staff.
Oh, and he's got a great co-host.
Oh, his co-host is I think that's his
funny,
research staff.
But you know what? They're immoral, they're filthy.
Yeah.
They head toward They can't pass up a dirty joke.
Yeah, kind of like Limbaugh's gotten in the last few years.
Yeah, Rush has gotten very vulgar.
Yeah, it's hard to listen.
I'd much rather listen to flat-out liberals.
Yeah, I switch it over to...
It's more bearable.
I think Denver is one of the few towns that still has an Air America station on it, although I don't know that they use that moniker anymore.
Mm.
But you can always turn over there.
Yeah, and so, Doug, we are about out of time. We've wasted a perfectly good half hour.
Could have been spent in such with much, much more productive activity.
Yeah, but hey, Doug, this neo-Nazi, the judge, he's on trial. The judge ordered him to cover up with makeup tattoos.
He has a vulgarity and a swastika tattooed on his face and neck.
Yeah, and barbed wire.
And the judge is worried that could affect the jury's opinion about it.
That is just so stupid, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
that's the whole point, Judge.
Right, that we want.
It's the whole point. This guy wants people to know that he's a Nazi.
Yeah, I mean, if you tattoo something like that on your face, you're making a statement.
So we're out of time. I can't tell the story about...
The good thing is there's a job because the state's paying a cosmetologist about $150 a day to cover up his tattoos with makeup.
So that's another Obama stimulus job.
Another job created. Thanks,
right.
Bob.
Makeup man for a neo-Nazi. All right. Thank you, Doug. So, hey, our website is kgov.com. And we've been having a great time with the Real Science Friday shows. We've got a lot of Christmas gifts available at kgov.com. So call us or go online. May God bless you.
Are you nicer than God? So many Christians today are nicer than God, or at least they try to be. Jesus was often very harsh with his rebukes in the Bible, but many Christians today would say such behavior would not be Christ-like. Bob Benyart teaches from the Scriptures that sometimes being nice isn't loving. Nicer Than God is available by calling 1-800-8-NYART, or you can get the MP3 CD or the MP3 download at kgovstore.com.